Harihi Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahanao Bhunaktu, Sahaviryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Too close to the sunset?
Too close to the sun.
Hmm?
Sun.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We have no walls, so you can't do the davenings.
We have a lot of walls.
Oh, I mean, that wall, yeah. That. Out in the garden.
Listen to that.
Oh, that's going to be fun. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 19, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Verse 2, 19, 175, page 88. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, if one is infected with a desire for material enjoyment, or material liberation, he cannot rise to the platform of pure loving service unto the Lord, even though he may superficially render devotional service according to the routine regulative principles. Right? So we have the aspect that Rupa Goswami is saying, Niyamagraha, you're performing the activity, right? But not, you know, you don't know why, or you have some other motive for it. Or you're not performing them because you don't understand the why. And so you don't see how it supports devotional service. Or you're performing the activities, but with the desire for karma and jnana. You know, so that'll, in one sense, technically be like Niyamagraha. You know. So you're not connecting that, it's not the regulative principles that are making devotional service, it's the regulative principles are being engaged in devotional service. Right? You know, getting up at this time, doing these and this. So you're regulating yourself so that you on a, in a... Because when you regulate, then you have the tendency to be focused on those things and do them. Because it's a habit. You know, it's just like, let's say, there's a door in a certain place in the house. Right? And, you know, somehow or another there's some remodeling and all that, and that becomes a cabinet and the door is somewhere else. For some days or weeks, you're going to walk to that place and go, oh yeah, and then keep going around. Eventually, it'll just come, but that's the whole point, is it regulates that you will do devotional service. Right? So that's the point, is the regulative principles are supporting. Religion supports the eternal religion. That's the purpose of religious activities. They're the bona fide activities to engage in the eternal activity of pleasing Krishna. You know? So in that way, they become non-different. Like in the spiritual world, you don't differentiate between Mother Jashoda's cooking and her pleasing Krishna, because she's cooking to please Krishna. So there, you only have primary activities. Because it's all done, everything's done just to please Krishna. But for us, since we're not on that platform where we have that rati, we have that natural attraction, therefore we have to do things that at least I'm doing something for Krishna, even though I may or may not remember. Yes. Right? So that regulated time, you get up at this time, you're going to go to Mangalarti. You may be the whole time thinking about something that happened yesterday or something that's going to happen in the future. Yes. But you're going to Mangalarti. And at some point in that, hopefully at least by Mangal Artik, when you get in front of the deity, you'll remember Krishna and be absorbed there. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? You know, so the idea is that these are activities that support, these are the natural activities. And so these are the activities that those who are engaged in pure devotional service, they do. But as they're doing pure devotional service, they're using these activities to express it. You know, it's just like, let's say you have canvas and you have oil paints and you have your brushes and all this and your easel. But all it is about, you know, how the paints go on the canvas and different things and techniques and getting this and that. But when someone asks, oh, what did you paint? Oh, no, it's just showing all the technique and all this. You know, point is it's for art. Yes. Then these are mediums and techniques to express the arts. Like someone else will use watercolors. Right? Someone else that uses photography. Someone else uses dance or drama or music. But the point is these are mediums to express devotion. Yes. So in the same way, the regulative principles are for expressing devotion. Mm-hmm. And so if you do that and you maintain karma and jnana, it still is not going to get you pure devotional service. You can't come to pure loving service. You won't come to prema. Yes.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he mentions why it is called bhajana kriya, not bhajan.
Uh-huh.
Because by form, it looks like a bhajan, but it's not a bhajan
it's a kriya.
As such.
Okay.
Because on that level, we can't really perform bhajan.
Yes.
But we can perform an external activity.
Yes, yes.
Which by form reminds us of the bhajan. So as you explain, At some moments we will do the real bhajan, but the form will be the same.
Yes, yes.
That's why it's kriya. It's not just bhajan.
Okay. Yes, that's interesting. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because the point is the kriyas are what are being used in the spirit. These kriyas that we use are coming from the spiritual world. You know, Mother Jashoda cooks for Krishna at certain times a day. It's not that one time you have, you know, breakfast at 6 o'clock and the other is at 10 o'clock because she decided to hang out in bed and do something on, you know, the internet or something. You know, she wanted to finish that movie she couldn't last night, you know. You know, so too close to home. Yeah. Oh well. Just trying to make things relevant. Yeah, I mean they are funny. So that's. But they, what they do, she at irregular times, they should, just like there's that one pastime where she goes out, calls Krishna for his meal, and his cowherd boyfriend says, "What do you mean? You can't go now. The playing's just at its zenith, and that you go now, we won't play with you anymore." So then he comes back, and she says, "Hey, you're not a street kid. Come on, you know your father's waiting." So they eat at their regular times, and that's how you have Astakaliya Leela, because it happens at these times. You know, so at this time he gets up. At this time, then he, you know, he takes care of the cows. Then he comes back and has a bath and gets dressed and all that. And then after that, then he has his breakfast. And then there's a little rest. Then he leaves with the cows for the forest. Then he's with the cowherd boys in the forest for some time. Then he goes off to see the gopis. Then he comes back with the cowherd boy. Then they all come back with the cows to Vrindavan. Right? Then he'll come and he'll have his bath and everything like that. Then he'll have the, you know, his evening program and all that. And then he'll go to sleep. And then after going to sleep, he'll go out with the gopis. And then at a certain time, they get up. At a certain time, they have to come back and be in bed so that Mother Jashoda can come and wake Krishna up in the morning. And it's time. It's not that, oh, it doesn't matter, we're spontaneous, you know, it's whatever, and it's like that. No, the you know, they're being woken up, the parrots are coming, waking them up, and then at the end, what's the monkey?
Kakati.
She comes in screaming and all that, Jatila, and then it's like, woof, and everybody's gone. Just in that moment, everybody runs in different directions. They're all gone. Because there's time. But it's not, they're not controlled by time. This is how Krishna wants the pastime. So it looks like they're controlled by time, but Krishna has set this is how he wants it to go. We're controlled by time. We don't want to get up, but you know, you don't get up and then you find out it's, you know, a few hours later than what you expected. Then you think, you know, when you're, how you say, you think, oh yeah, no, I could just do this and that and because this is all right. But then you never calculate everything. You forgot that people are coming to visit you at this time of the morning. You know, and then there was that other thing that you had to do, and oh, that's the day that you were going to, you know, do this, and that, you know, and then it's a real mess. But for Krishna, it's just, this is how it was. So time serves Krishna. Right? So all this, all these activities, they are serving Krishna. Right? That's the whole point. That all the different qualities, all the different situations, all the different moods, they're all there serving Krishna. Right? The devotees and Krishna, they're all interacting. Here, we're controlled by time. Here, we have to go through the things. But, you know, as Prabhu was saying, we follow these kriyas because these are coming from the spiritual world. This idea that these aren't coming from the spiritual world because some academic doesn't understand this or believe it, it's kind of like, so? They don't even believe that there's a soul. They don't even believe there's a next life. So are we going to go along with them? You know, blind leading the blind, you know? So the point is this is the way it works. And so, therefore, that's why we do this. You know, you can say is, oh, it's not, you know, people of this world won't like it. We couldn't care less about that. You want to stay in this world, please those people and serve those people, go for it. But if you want to go back to Godhead, that's a different discussion. Then you do what they do in the spiritual world. Right? Because we're talking pure devotional service here. We're not talking about stay here, do a little this and that, be pious enough, do a little devotional service, but keep maintaining material attachments, end up in the heavenly planets, then be born into a rich family. And because you're born into a rich family or a religious family, then you identify with it, attached to that. Then you say, hey, we're from here, we're this and that. And so we can't do all that, so we'll just do a little, you know, little this and that, whatever we like. And then, you know, go to the heavenly planets again, come back, be born into that kind of, you know, you can do that for thousands of births. We're trying to get out of this cycle. And not because it's getting out is what's important, is that we're supposed to be serving Krishna. And we have the opportunity that we can assist Krishna's servants in doing that. And so then, seeing that we were in ignorance, and now the spiritual masters opened our eyes, then we want to be able to assist in that. That's why we're doing it. Because, literally speaking, anybody who leads in anything on this world, they do what they feel is the best thing to do. They're not worried about others. Others tell them they're crazy. Literally, you go in and look at it. Any of these big, big guys, everybody thought, why are you working so? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? You know, you should be doing this. You should, and then they become the big guys. They set the standards. And then we're supposed to, then the idea is we should be the sheep. Or even better, we should be the lemmings. You know? I mean, there are some nice cliffs, I think, in Dover, and I think France has some really nice cliffs over the ocean at some point, like that. You know, most places it's just kind of flat, you know. So it means you could have, the opportunity that's being given, that's the whole point. So it says, infected with the desire for material enjoyment or material liberty. It's an infection. It's not that, oh yes, we are this. It says, no, you're not. It's an infection. That's like getting sick and then saying, oh, I'm this disease. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions that if one maintains within his heart the desire to enjoy the result of good work, or being embarrassed by the material world, the desire to get out of material entanglement, right? So liberation. One will never be able to attain transcendental mellows of devotional service, right? And also here's, if we are embarrassed by being devotees and doing sadhana bhakti and being, you know, different from others who we value and esteem and, you know, are fascinated by and revere and all these things, then one will never be able to attain the transcendental mellows. The devotional service done will remain, but at some point you have to give it up. If you can remember Krishna at the time of death, go back to Godhead, great. But then you'll have to give it up there. It's not that because you remember it went back to Godhead, but I was maintaining material desire here, that when you get there, you won't have to give it up. You know? And then you can't say, hey, we're Westerners. We're from the western side of Braja, you know? Is that the, you know? No, you can't say that. Yes.
I think one of the definitions of Kanishtha Adhikari is that he has two positions. Either he is embarrassed of his position, or he's proud of his position.
That's far out.
He is out of balance always. And if we look, I see that.
Yes, yes.
And also in one person, is oscillating.
It goes back, yeah, it depends on the situation. It means if it's something that they're a little confident of, then they're proud. And if it's something they're not confident of, then they're how you say?
Embarrassed.
You know, it's just like people who don't know how to dress, they get embarrassed. They come up with all these things. Anybody who knows how to dress wouldn't be embarrassed because they look good. You know? You know what I'm saying? It's just like I see a devotee who he would dress in, you know, as a devotee. He was temple president. He did that. He looked very proper. Very. You know, he was one of those like very standard, very, you know, I guess proper would be the right thing. And everything, you know, and it's good. There's nothing wrong, you know, how he dresses everything. Then one day, I think I was going from one, I was coming into there. I think I was flying in. And he was either going out or coming in or something like that. And I saw him at the airport, and he was in his karmi clothes. He looked so good. You know? And then the people that say that the devotional clothes look bad, if you look at their karmi clothes, they look terrible. They look terrible. That's because they don't know how to wear. So learn how to wear clothes. It's not an excuse because, you know, you don't know how to dress.
So Govinda Maharaj in karmi clothes, he looks good.
He looks good. Shivaram Maharaj looks good. Bhakti Chara Maharaj would look good. You know, so many people, they look good.
When we saw him and I was impressed.
Yeah. No, he dresses, you know, everything very proper. But simple. Because the point is tastefulness is simple. High class is simple.
I wouldn't say cheap.
No. You said cheap. That's why I'm saying they're talking, oh, you got to dress like this and that. And says, I don't see them dressing like that. You know? So that you know, they look good. So that's the point about it. You have culture. It will be there however you're dealing. And you don't have culture, it doesn't matter what you do, it'll still be uncultured. You know, so the point here is that one can't be embarrassed or proud. You know, that has to be given up. Is that we're humble servant of Krishna, and we're following in the footsteps. So yes, we do have our group, our gana. You know, we're the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We're following in that line. We're following Rupa Goswami. So we have our people. You can say, no, but we're about everybody. He says, no, we're not. Nobody's about everybody. Like I said, one or two people may feel like that, but they only fit in with people like that. You stick them in another environment, they're very pleasant and nice, but no one can relate. But at least they're pleasant and nice. In other words, one must not desire material profit when rendering devotional service. Even if one follows all the 64 regulative principles, he cannot attain pure devotional service with a contaminated heart. Right? Because bhakti is an attitude. Then this attitude is properly expressed, very nicely, comfortably expressed, with these 64 principles. Like as Rupa Goswami gives. Right? What is it? Sixth chapter, no?
Yes.
Yes, sixth chapter of Nectar Devotion. Yes. He gives the 64 principles. And so then, that's the point. You follow all those nicely. And that you do your best, even if they don't work out so great, or your conscience is always great, but you're trying, then you'll be successful. But if you maintain the material desires, or maintain the pride, or maintain embarrassment at being a devotee and doing these things, then you can't attain pure devotional service. Yes, you've rendered service, that will remain. You'll advance slowly unless one of the big weeds gets you, but then next life it'll continue. But what's being offered is that one lifetime you can attain to the platform of pure devotional service. So why not take it? You know, it'd be just like you're given an opportunity that you invest like this, you deal like this, and you can make millions. But if you have an attachment to gambling, you'll never make those millions. You just lose out. You know, because you're doing something that's against the actual goal. It's all right, or okay.
I'm thinking on it.
Okay, because you're sitting there with this. Uh-oh.
We were having a discussion on the other day, what is gambling? So I was just remembering that.
Okay. 219, 176, 177. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "The material desire to enjoy the material world and the desire to become liberated from material bondage are considered to be two witches, and they haunt one like ghosts. As long as these witches remain within the heart, how can one feel transcendental bliss? As long as these two witches remain in the heart, there is no possibility of enjoying the transcendental bliss of devotional service." Footnote 34. This verse is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.22. So it's far out. So Lord Chaitanya says all these things and then adds that like that, then he quotes them in the book. You know, bases it around. "By regularly rendering devotional service, sadhana bhakti, one gradually becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When that attachment, rati, is intensified, it becomes love of Godhead, prema." Right? So by sadhana brings you to rati, and rati brings you to prema. So we're performing sadhana to get us to rati, or bhava, right? And then bhava will get us to prema. So one has to understand how it moves. At the same time, as you can say, the sadhana bhakti will get you to prema because it will get you to rati, which will get you to prema. You know, it's just like saying, if you get in this taxi, you'll get to Calcutta, but the taxi is only taking you to where the bus is, which will then get you to Calcutta. But the point is they're connected. Srila Prabhupada, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2 gives the following information about sadhana bhakti. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava sa sadhana bhidha nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam hriri sadhyata. The process of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting. See how they did that? Does that make sense? In the sentence? Again, the process of devotional service is called sadhana bhakti, right? But so, you can read it like that. But then you want to give some definition, so you can use those. You see that? Those. And that can, very much, those more technical things, you just do that and it becomes clear. This includes the regular, This includes the regular principles that are intended to wake one to devotional service, right? So the regular principles wake us up to that. And at the same time, once you're awake, they're the same activities you'd be performing. Devotional service is always dormant in everyone's heart. And by the offenseless chanting of the holy names of the Lord, one's original dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened. This awakening to Krishna consciousness is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. This can be divided into many different parts, including faith, association with devotees, initiation by the spiritual master, engagement in devotional service under the instructions of the spiritual master, steadiness in devotional service, and the awakening of a taste for devotional service. In this way, one can become attached to Krishna and his service. And when this attachment is intensified, it results in a static love for Krishna. The word rati is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.3.41 as follows. Vaktam mas sri narte vantar lakshyate rati lakshanam mumukshu prabhuri tinam ched bhaved esha ratir evahi. When a tenderness of the heart is manifested, there is rati, or attachment. But those who are interested in being liberated from material bondage will not manifest this tenderness. Right? The heart remains hard. So that's why that point of having a hard heart is brought out. It's not just, oh, he's cultured and he's refined. Point is the rati, the symptom is, you know, here is that softness of heart.
Yes.
Right? Then it prema becomes soft and we see it just gets more and more. So those interested in liberation, the heart remains hard.
Yes.
Not that. Right? Or anything material, but just... This attachment is not like material attachment. When one is free of material contamination, attachment for Krishna's service awakens and is called rati. In the material world, there is attachment for material enjoyment, but this is not rati. Transcendental rati can be awakened only on the spiritual platform. Ecstatic love for Krishna, prema, is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 141 as followed. Samyan Masrini Ta Svanto Mama Tva Tishayan Kita Bhavasa Eva Sandrama Budhai Prema Nigadyate. When the heart is completely softened and devoid of all material desires, and when one's emotional feelings become very strong, one becomes very much attached to Krishna. Such purified emotion is known as pure love.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's what we're trying for. So based on that, that's why then Lord Chaitanya is making these strong points.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Of course, we're trying to encourage and seeing that everybody can be engaged and everything like that. So like that, we can give support in whatever position one's in and how he wants to move forward. But if you want pure devotional service, then you have to understand what is required. Even if you can't do it, but you know what's required, and you're trying to adjust your life in such a way that step by step you get to what's required. Does that make sense? Not making excuses, not rationalizing and all this. No, those things are there. And why are they there? It's understood it's there. And it can be why. Because one is contaminated. One's covered by the modes. One has bad habits. You know, one has material attachments. And because of that, then certain things are there, certain attachments, certain lifestyles, certain behaviors. And with time, by chanting, these will be purified. And then they can be nicely, you know, the position can be nicely engaged in Krishna's service. But it has to be recognized that it needs to be purified. You can't make a philosophy that's saying that it's all right. In fact, it's better. We're being realistic here. But who's being realistic? A conditioned soul under the modes of nature is being real? Where is that? That's the first verse of Bhagavatam. That's illusion. And so you have to be able to distinguish illusion from reality. That's the first verse of Bhagavatam. And so here, Lord Chaitanya is defining reality. First, he's defining that you can about prema and developing like that. Then he's showing, you know, because it said, with every instruction, there comes to be what you have to watch out for. So he's pointing out, be careful of karma and jnana. Therefore, that anyavilashita shunyam. You know, that you can say basically is the core verse. Or what is that? What's that called? That
Paribhasa.
It's the main sutra that everything else then is, and then from there other major points are connected and then they're defined and you have the nice explanation. So that's the main thing. And if that's understood, then yes, you can do these other things, but you can't be proud, you know, of your position in devotional service or embarrassed by your position. Point is we've been in the material world since time immemorial. Of course we're going to do stupid stuff. But that doesn't mean it's all right. It just means it happens. And so therefore, move on. You know, try to improve. Try to get it together. And when you do, nice. You know, you see, that's how kids learn. They stand up, you know, like that, and then sit back down. They stand up, take one step, and fall over on their face. You know, but they'll stand up again. But that standing up, you know, they fall on their face is glorious. Everybody's applauding. Yeah, wow, great. And it's, everyone's happy.
Yeah.
You know? No one, you know, if anybody says, oh, that's it, you know, hey, you're like, what a stupid kid, can't even walk. No, that's not appreciated. So, people who talk like that and point out like that, it's not appreciated because it's not important. But that doesn't mean what they're saying is not correct. It's just not, it's they're talking about the technical form. But what's the attitude of the child? The attitude is to try to walk, to try to do, that's the main thing. That's correct. That's if you point out the fault, that's what's being missed there. So you have to see both the attitude and the action. Right? So if the attitude's right, the activity's wrong, then you encourage and then slowly try to bring in the right activity. The activity's right, the attitude's wrong, you try to improve the attitude. You know? If the attitude's wrong and the activity's wrong, you have a problem. And of course, if both are correct, then, perfect. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "The basic aspects of prema, when gradually increased to different states, are affection, sneha, abhorrence, mana, love, pranaya, attachment, raga, further attachment, anuraga, ecstasy, bhava, and great ecstasy, mahabhava." Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.2.84, sneha, affection, is described as follows. Sandras chitra dravam kurvan prema sneha itir yate shani kasyapi neha syad vishleshasya sahishnuta. That aspect of prema in which the melting of the heart for the lover is concentrated is called sneha or affection. The symptom of such affection is that the lover cannot for a moment remain without the association of the beloved. End quote. A description of man can be found in Madhya Lila, chapter 2, verse 66. Similarly, a description of pranaya is also there, footnote 35. The word pranaya is explained thus. When there is the possibility of receiving direct honor, but it is avoided, that love is called pranaya. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Ujjwala Nilamani, explains the word mana thus. When the lover feels novel sweetness by exchanging hearty loving words, but wishes to hide his feelings by crooked means, mana is experienced. Madhya Lila 2.66 purport.
Even Maharaj, the meaning of pranaya also changes in conjugal.
Yes, conjugal will be one thing, and then the other three will be another. Yeah, because it doesn't even come up Shanta. Shanta will just be ecstasy. It won't take on these further forms.
Like that. Also only up to prema.
Only up to prema. Okay, so because it's only in friendship and parental.
Yeah, but those who are considered higher dasa, they have that touch of friendship, so then...
Yes, okay. As far as raga is concerned, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.2.87 says, sneha sa rago yena syat sukham dukham api sputam tad sambanda lave Pyatra priti prana vyatirapi. That stage at which affection for the beloved converts unhappiness into happiness is called raga, or attachment. When one has such attachment for Krishna, he can give up his own life to satisfy his beloved Krishna. End quote. Anuraga, bhava, and mahabhava are described in the 6th chapter of the Madhya Lila, verse 13. The purport of that verse explains Aniruddha Mahabhava Udriti Madhya 6.13 purport. So this is a purport within Prabhupada's purport. Adhiruddha Bhava or Adhiruddha Mahabhava is explained in the Ujjvala Nilamani of Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes Rupa Goswami as follows. Quote, the loving propensity of the ashraya, devotee, towards the vishraya, Krishna, Lord, becomes so ecstatic that even after enjoying the company of the beloved, the devotee feels that his enjoyment is insufficient. At such a time, the lover sees the beloved in different ways. Such a development of ecstasy is called anuraga. When anuraga reaches its highest limit and becomes perceivable in the body, it is called bhava. When the bodily symptoms are not very distinct, however, the emotional state is still called anuraga, not bhava. When bhava, ecstasy, is intensified, it is called mahabhava. The symptoms of mahabhava are visible only in the bodies of eternal associates like the gopis.
Like sometimes we describe first stage of mahabhava is what is called as bhava here.
Oh, okay. First stage is just called bhava.
I mean, now here the terminology is like that. Because after anuraga, there is only mahabhava. Eighth stage.
Oh, I see. So here bhava just means the general.
Yeah, general.
Or it means the general, all the gopis. Mm-hmm. And then mahabhava will be within Radharani's group. Okay. 219-179-180. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it's very interesting because he's bringing out these various moods and like that. Like it mentioned that about the, what do you call it? The man. That one has that, what was it that? When lover feels novel sweetness by exchanging hearty loving words. Right, it's very dynamic, the interact, but wishes to hide his feelings by crooked means. Mana is experienced. You know, but we'll just directly say, oh no, you just fight with Krishna and stuff like that. But at the same time, is it does have that form, as Prabhupada mentioned, what was it before? How did he give the translation? Abhorrence. You know, like you're avoiding. So because you're avoiding showing the mood. It's not about the fight, it's showing, not showing the mood. So the natural thing is that if there's that kind of mood, it's easy to not show those. Does that make sense? Yes.
There's one description of Srimati Radharani. She was feeling very intense love towards Krishna, and then she just suddenly turned away.
Mm-hmm.
So it is explained that she felt this man means she didn't want to show it to Krishna, so she just turned. So then Krishna's asking, what happened? And then she angrily said, oh, your cows, they make a lot of dust. And then I'm suddenly crying. But actually,
yeah,
those are the symptoms of very intense love. But then she's saying, like, angrily, like, your cows.
Yeah. So that's the thing. So that's the mood that's there. Because otherwise, if you just say it's just the fighting aspect, then means you'll appreciate the mechanics of the pastime, but not the moods of the pastime. So that's why it's very important to see these different aspects. So we see as the acharyas, they explain, they bring out different things, and you can this way kind of put together what they're dealing with. But it's all about that. It's all that wonderful, wonderful aspect. Because then by that, you know, the pastime's going very nicely, but by this, Krishna's pulled in even more. So it intensifies it more. And so that's the whole idea, is that it's just constantly being intensified and moved by the newer and newer flavors and presentations. It gives newer and newer taste. Right? Yeah, so we show them as they're going, but actually you see they're just intensifying the things. But it's not that in these others. It means now if the mahabhava is there, but then you're trying to hide those, you'll call it man. Even though Mahabhava's being experienced, but you're calling it that aspect. Does that make sense? So they move through these things, because Preeti is technically one thing, and it has, how many? Eight?
Eight
features. You know, so it's not when they say when the physical symptoms are there, so those are part of the first one, technically.
Yeah.
But they're being manifest here. So now with these other things, it's called by this other name. So it's just the different combinations. But they're more intense. Each one you go is more intense than the last. So the pastime will move through these different positions. Mm-hmm. 219, 179, 180. I'm just thinking the sounds at a wedding or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Makar Sankranti, that's it.
Oh. No, okay.
It's 2 things. It's not supposed to be any wedding now.
Yeah, that's another thing. You know, somebody finds something, you know, as long as you have it sitting under a rock, you know, you know, then keep 3 frogs on that side, and then you can have the wedding. Three frogs, I didn't mean your mother-in-law. Yeah. 219, 179, 180. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The gradual development of prema may be compared to different states of sugar. First, there is the seed of the sugar cane, then sugar cane, and then the juice extracted from the cane. Right? Different states of sugar. So the seed of the sugar cane. The seed of the sugar cane is a piece of sugar cane. Right? And so you take the sugar cane, you cut it, you have to cut it where you have those knots. Because the roots only grow from the knots. So then you have it away, you cut it, and you have to cut it at an angle. You can't cut it straight, you have to cut it at an angle. There's some way you have to put it, plant it at an angle, and how that angle, you know, it's sugar, it's trippy. Right? Sweetness is always trippy, right? So it has some sweetness, but how much is in that, right? Then from that you get, and then from one, you'll get so many canes coming out. Right? It's not that from one you get it, you know, no, you get so many come out, like that. And so then you get the sugar cane. Then the juice is extracted, and that will be even more intense. So when the juice is boiled, it forms liquid molasses. It's more, then solid molasses, then sugar. Right, and sugar is, they take that molasses and they have it in there, and there's a way they do, and they put a grain of sugar in there, and then they do something. There's this particular way they have to deal with it, and that, and then it'll just crystallize.
It's like right. Caramel.
Hmm?
Kind of caramel.
No, it's not cooked. They put it in after. It's some way as they cook it, and then to get it to. So you have the liquid molasses, you get the solid molasses, they have to kind of like, they almost like, they have the liquid and they have a paddle and they kind of like beat it. You know, it's not like whacking beating, it just means they're stirring in a very strong way to try to do something to it. You can sometimes see them doing it if you watch. Then sugar, then candy, then rock candy, and finally lozenges.
Hmm.
All these stages combined are called sthayi bhava, or continuous love of Godhead, in devotional service. In addition to these stages, there are vibhava and anubhava. Yeah. So the sthayi bhava is there, and it just gets deeper and deeper. And then there's the vibhava and the vibhava, then what's going to bring this up, and the anubhavas, which will be the natural. The movement of the mind towards particular services and attitudes afterwards, right? Yes? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. Attachment for Krishna. Oh, this is Lord Chaitanya talking. That's far out. And finally, lozenges. That's it. That's cool. So maybe that's why lozenges are so popular, right? It's the ultimate.
The guys who sell some kind of small things, they call it as lozenges.
Mm-hmm.
On the train.
Right.
They don't call any other name.
Lozenge,
okay. Yeah, it's the final product, according
to the name. Yes, it's the ultimate. Srila Prabhupada. Attachment for Krishna never wanes. It increases more and more as one attains different stages. All the stages together are called sthayi bhava, or continuous existence of ecstasy. Right, because one is situated in that ecstasy. It's not something that comes and goes. You're always in that. Various tastes may be there, various intensities, but one's always in that existence of continuous ecstasy. Right? The 9 forms of devotional service are Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Shakyam, Atmanivedanam. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23. When continuous love of Godhead is mixed with the process of devotional service, it is called Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Vyavichari. Right? So when Stai Bhava, or continuous love of Godhead, is mixed with the processes like that, means these formulas of how it works. You know, like seeing Krishna and seeing the devotees and these things. Then you get these other aspects. The devotee thus enjoys a variety of transcendental bliss. In his Amrita Prabhaha Bhasya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that Anubhava can be divided into 13 categories. 1. Dancing. 2. Rolling on the ground. 3. Singing. 4. Yelling. 5. Jumping. 6. Making loud noises. 7. Yawning. 8. Heavy breathing. 9. Not caring for public opinion. 10. Discharging saliva. 11. Roaring laughter. 12. Unsteadiness. And 13. Hiccuping. These are the symptoms of Anubhava.
It's not
Santuri? No. Santuri will be the particular transitory kind of...
Not Santuri. Sattvika Bhava? Because we say Anubhava is the conscious activity we perform.
Yes, but that would be. They would want to dance. They would want to roll on the ground. They would want to sing.
That's a conscious one. I always thought that it's there. Life affairs that they're being pushed.
I think then that you do have that, yes, you do have that aspect, but there's going to be they happen, you're not really conscious of. I mean, you're aware when they happen, but
yes,
it's just they happen on their own. The other one is that there's the mood of you want to do. Because it also, you have, even let's say Mother Yashoda sees Krishna and all, gets his fire, and she wants to cook for Krishna. That's also an Anubhava.
Yes.
Like that. But it also has these symptoms. So there are very similar between Anubhava and the Sattvika Bhavas. You know? So it may be that there's a Sattvika aspect to the Anubhavas. You know, and there's an Anubhava aspect to the Sattvika, like this. So Yeah.
Sometimes also both Anubhavas and Sattvikas together are called Anubhavas.
Yes, you can also call...
All three of them.
Means if you're only mentioned, because it could be that's also here, is because Prabhupada said there's only Sattvika and... what is it?
Vibhava and Anubhava here only.
Yeah, Bhava and Anubhava. Or Vibhava and Anubhava.
Yes.
Yeah, so Vibhava means... That means you have the Stai Bhava. In addition to these stages, right, you know, of all that, of the development of the Stai Bhava, then there are, so that would mean that all these levels, they're aspects of Stai Bhava. So the Sneha and all these things, they're aspects of Stai Bhava. That's interesting. Okay, so if those are aspects of Stai Bhava, then they are directed in context of the Vibhava. Right? Which will be Krishna, right? In some aspects, his qualities, at things he does, things connect with him, and all that. Then they will produce Anubhavas. And in this case, if you're only saying these three, Anubhava means Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Vyavichari. They can all be called Anubhava. Because they're the, you know, in other words, they're the results of the one. Yeah. In other words, you have a position. You interact, you get a result. So it's still like sambandhavideyam prayojana, like that. Then you can then, within that, then show what's happening, which is specifically, you can break Anubhava down into three parts. Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Vyavichari. And then you also have then the secondary ragas come in, rasas come in, you know, which are, in one sense, they're vyavicharis, but they can take on something and have the vibhava in that, which the other vyavicharis don't. But in one sense, that they have that aspect of temporariness and all that, and add to that. So, depending upon how you want to categorize, then you can bring that. So this would appear that this then is having those kind of aspects.
Also, yes. At one place, I think we came across that sattvikas are when we are trying to control them. And then the higher intents of them are anubhavas. There is one place it's categorized like that. Both are the same thing, like your relationship between. Like if you are just one of them, I just remember. I think when you are just trying to control your laughter and then you are laughing loudly, like that. One is sattvika and another one is anubhava. Anubhava is when you are openly expressing fully. And sattvika is you are trying to control, but it still manifests.
Okay.
So then you can make 13 categories and then...
Sure, that's not in connection with when they give you example of raktak. Trying to control.
I think somewhere there was.
Yeah, there was that. I don't think it was so much the definition. They were showing that they were. I think they were trying to show is that they're so focused on their service that they're not interested. The ecstasies aren't. They're not doing devotional service for the ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing devotional service to please Krishna. The taste in that is greater than these ecstasies.
No, Maharaj. At another place, it's shown that the sattvikas are when you're trying to control and limit it. Whereas anubhavas are where you're expressing it like
more fully. Okay.
So then they can be categorized into 13, and the mild ones can be called as sattvikas, and then the more intense ones can be categorized in anubhavas.
Anubhavas,
the same
okay. Also, it seems to be the different rasas, then they have different groupings.
Yes.
Like that. Some are the same, but some of those. Yeah, so even though there may be 13, who has them at what time and all that, that's another thing. Like that. Yeah. These are the symptoms of anubhava. Thus the transcendental mellows are experienced in different stages. Similarly, there are many other forms of expression that have been analytically studied by the Goswamis. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami gives each and every symptom a particular name. 219, 181, 184. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. When the higher standard of ecstatic love is mixed with the symptoms of sattvika and vyavichari, the devotee relishes the transcendental bliss of loving Krishna in a variety of nectarine tastes. These tastes are like a combination of yogurt, sugar candy, ghee, clarified butter, black pepper, and cardamom, and are as palatable as sweet nectar. According to the devotee, attachment falls within the five categories of Shantarati, Dasyarati, Shakyarati, Vatsalyarati, and Madhurarati. These five categories arise from devotees' different attachments to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The transcendental mellows derived from devotional service are also of five varieties. Srila Prabhupada. Shantarati is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.5.16-18 as follows. Manase nirvikalpatvam sama it yabhi dhiyate. When one is completely free from all doubts and material attachments, he attains the neutral position called Shanta. Vihaya Vishayon Mukhyam Nijananda Stitir Yata Atmana Kataye Sotra Swabhava Sama It Yasau Prayasama Pradhananam Mamata Gantam Varjita Paramataya Krishne Jata Shanti Ritir Mata. The Shantarati realization of Krishna is in the neutral stage between the conception of impersonalism and personalism. This means that one is not very strongly attached to the personal feature of the Lord. An appreciation of the greatness of the Lord is called Shantarati. This is attachment not to the personal feature, but to the impersonal feature. Generally, one in this stage is attached to the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddesher junatishtati. Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. End quote. Bhagavad Gita 18:61. On the strength of the statement from the Bhagavad Gita, we can understand that in Shanta Rasa, a devotee sees the Lord's representation everywhere. Right, so that's the thing. He'll see Krishna everywhere. He'll see all that aspect. And in that way, then he's appreciating Krishna. Right? So then you see in the next rasa, then they'll see Krishna everywhere, but then that gives a rise to desire to serve the Lord. And then you see Krishna everyone, then you want to serve as in friendship or in parental or in conjugal. So that first thing of seeing Krishna everywhere, everything connected to Krishna, that's basically the platform that they function at. The spirit is really the spiritual platform, the transcendental platform. It's connection with Krishna. So when he says it's that impersonal feature, doesn't mean that they have a problem with the personal. It's in between the two. It's just that their attachment is not so much for the person in the way of rendering service. It's about appreciating that all-pervading aspect and that as Paramatma, how he controls and deals with everything. That appreciation of that is their taste. Does that make sense? So they're not like the impersonalists. They're above that. But the platform is the same place. Just they see it back to the person who's that. But the taste is in this understanding. Right? It doesn't mean they don't appreciate the person. It's the person who's doing this. Does that make sense? So that's why it's a neutral state. So they have ecstasy and all this kind of aspect like that. But you know, some places they only describe it as that bhava bhakti is as far as it is. That aspect of rati is as far as it goes. It doesn't attain prema. Right? Does that make sense? But I bet in some places it's. I'm not sure. Do they talk about prema for that level?
I think Vaikuntha prema. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Because majority, as we read yesterday,
are Shanta.
Yeah.
So there's some kind. It means that they have an affection for the Lord, but they're just appreciating that aspect of. You know, just like if you're appreciating majesty, you're appreciating that aspect of the Lord, not necessarily the sweetness. Yeah. Right, and then you can have the mixed aspect. Right? And then the mixed aspect, then you can come to the unmixed, the brudge. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of where that aspect is connected to. So then in Vrindavan, the trees and creep is that Shanta, but it's connected with Braja Krishna. Right? That he's the one that's, you know, all this is there. So then that appreciation, they like, you know. But yeah. So in other words, the point is these, we don't have to worry about this. This is all taken care of by the internal potency. So this rasa expands from Sandini. So since Sandini creates the Dham and everything else and all the forms that everybody has and all these kind of aspects, then naturally that if someone is situated in that appreciation, you know, as the central feature, then it would have that Shanta aspect. One's situated in that, but one has you know, these more intense relationships based on that attachment. I mean, that sense of possession. Then you'll take on the next three, right? And so that would be the sum of it. But if it's deeper than that and all that, the more intense, then it'll take on the nature of the conjugal, which will be coming from Hladini. Yes.
Today we were reading with the students from Jaiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explaining that the Jiva Shakti or the Tatastha is the energy of Paramatma. The same like we're reading in Paramatma Sandharva. Mm. So then students were very unhappy. then I they didn't express it verbally, but I was like, what's your problem? So then They said, if we originate from Karanda Kashaya Vishnu, who is the Paramatma feature of the Lord, then how will we develop the relationship with Bhagavan? So this
he agrees.
He agrees?
Yes, indeed.
So I mean, I tried to explain, and then I mentioned them later, it will be explained in more details, but then it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a contradiction.
But the thing is then you bring out things from later that you know about and explain it, and they may catch it or not, but at least it's brought out. But the point is they're making too much, what's happening here is they're making too much of a distinction between Krishna and Karana Dakshai Vishnu. The point is it's just like this. Let us say you have one person, they're standing there. Let's say they're standing someplace waiting for someone to come, right? And, you know, little child comes up to them and says, you know, waves at them, hi, and that, what's the person going to do?
Same.
Hey, hi, how are you? You know, like that. Okay. Then let us say a person comes by and is, you know, very formal. They'll deal with them formally back. Someone comes up and, you know, is harassing, you know, then they'll be very strong. So the thing is Krishna just takes, he does these with different forms. He doesn't have to do it himself. Right? And so then, because we're in a neutral state, we act neutrally. And we're here, we're the neutral ones that turned against. So then how is he supposed to manifest? He's supposed to get out his flute and have his fabulous pastimes, you know, while we, you know, are sitting about, you know, how am I going to control and enjoy this? So the point is, it's the same person. And he, as you deal, he reciprocates. You know, so therefore, if you start to manifest this mood, then that's how he's going to deal with you. Because we have to remember, the Boma Leela is not part of the material world. It's not part of the material world. It may be manifest here by the internal potency, but it's not part of the material world. It's not controlled by the material world. But it's so wonderfully arranged that those from the material world can pass through. You know, the demons come in and, you know, and exit. They don't necessarily exit in the same way they came in. And so then you're going to have these things on how it's dealing, what the mood is and all that. And so therefore we're dealing now because we're saying, oh, I don't like that. Why don't you like it? Well, the bottom line is because it's not prestigious. I want to be from Goloka. I want to be this. I want to be right there. You know, I want to be able to elbow everyone out of the way and go stand right there and here I am and turn around and go, see, me and Krishna, we're tight.
Selfie.
Hmm?
Selfie?
Yeah. Take the picture and then see if you get, you know, wow, don't get very good signal here. Yeah, so then that becomes the difficulty, is that that's where the question is about them, it's not about Krishna. Because it's Krishna, I mean, it's Mahavishnu is Krishna. Because they say, how we'll have a relationship with Bhagavan. The thing was is that when Krishna and Arjuna went to visit Karana Dakshai Vishnu, he came out of his palace, it was full of all kinds of people, he's having his pastimes and all this. So the point is that aspect where he just maintains the creation as the Paramatma of the creation, that's then, you know, is that big form. But otherwise he has this palace, he's Bhagavan, you know, he's a Vishnumurti, he's doing all these things. And so we only appreciate that aspect. What about these other aspects? So that's why it's not to be gotten into much. You're supposed to appreciate the principle that's being brought out there. Is that Paramatma controls the energies. We're at best on a good day, acting like an energy. Generally, we try to act as if we're, you know, the Lord. And so then if you're acting as an energy, that's good. That's positive. You're acting not as an energy, then that's definitely part of the material world. You know, so therefore, that's why we're given here. So all these things, with Krishna, there's no time and space. We take it, no, how can I be here? I want to be there. But there isn't any space. It's all Krishna. So where's the... So those things are beyond the appreciation. Because if we're thinking with logic and time and space, we can't think beyond. And that brings up, as we mentioned, the skepticism and all these other things. So one can't get too involved in these things. You know, because you say, how will we... It's the same person. Why, you think Mahavishnu is not the Lord? So you're saying, how do I with Bhagavan? But you're not even... You don't even see Bhagavan. Here's Bhagavan right here. And you don't see it. Krishna's sitting in your heart. You don't mind, you know, that he's in my heart and this and that and all that. So why is it, why is Garbhadaksha, Kranadaksha Vishnu any different than Kiradaksha? He's this expansion.
It's obviously easier to see the immediate connection, me to Paramatma, than me to Bhagavan in that sense, because probably they never thought about this.
Yes.
But as soon as it clicked, then an anxiety came. Oh, what is my connection? But it's just a further step.
Yeah.
Because he's the sarva karma karma. He's the cause of all causes. So from him comes, and then we can interact. Good. It's not an issue.
Yes.
And if I'm coming from Paramatma, means I'm left out.
But the thing is you're saying an origin, but we're taking it that origin is different from Krishna.
It's the same.
Yeah, so the point is how it works out, what does it matter? You know? The point is you know, it's just like saying, this person is going to give you something, and then the whole thing is, which fingers did he use to give it? I only want it if he gave it with these fingers, not if he used these two, three together or all five of them together or like that. No, it has to be this one. It's the same person. It's just how he affects it. He's one person. He's non-dual. So that's the thing. We're not fully understanding him as a person. Because if we understand as a person, that's how that person takes care of these things. You know, because like you said, dealing with Paramatma, then in the heart, then you can talk to him and everything like this. And so in Paramatma, you're seeing Krishna in threefold bending form there with all the pastimes of Vrindavan manifest, or not. So if you are okay, then that's going to be a different discussion. But if you're not, then why is it you can talk to him and not to the same person a little bigger? Yeah.
It's the same mentality as like we want to stay at home and get full payment from the office. So similarly, if we say we come from Paramatma, then you are responsible for your karma, you have to put the endeavor and all. But you connect to Krishna, they can directly participate in the past tense and you're cool. Like,
oh,
you don't belong to the material world. So same thing, stay at home, get full payment.
Okay. That's an interesting...
no responsibility.
Yeah, no responsibility because I'm there. Because Paramatma, I have to work to qualify. But the other is, no, I'm already from there. And so when I feel like it, I'll get back to work. Interesting. Yeah. And when they say impersonal feature here, this attachment for the shanta is not to the personal, but to the impersonal. then they're not meaning that it's the impersonal like the Maya bodies or these others where they don't know the personal is there. They know it's the person, but they like this feature of the person. You know, it's just like Krishna is expanding everywhere. And everything's based on him. He's the basis of everything. So he's in every atom, between every atom, all that. So that feature of the Lord is what they appreciate. So it's the Brahman aspect of the person. That's why they're devotees, because they have affection for, that rati for the person. But it's this feature that is their taste. Does that make sense? Yes.
When they say that advancement, then first one realizes the name is transcendental, then the form, then the qualities.
Right.
So still when we are in the qualities, still it's still in one sense impersonal because we appreciate his qualities in vibhutis.
Mm-hmm.
Only when one can appreciate the past times and see that in connection with all these three, and then further mature, then he is allowed to actually participate, have a dynamic participation in the past tense. So they are more on all the qualities of the Lord. And then
And they can appreciate them in the past tense.
Yes, yes.
Like that. So then,
But the focus is on the qualities, and before that they already know that the Lord has a form and they appreciate it. And only then they can go to the qualities and appreciate that.
Yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of taste. Just like, so for them, it's not a matter of majesty or sweetness. You know, some maybe it's more inclined towards this or more inclined towards that. But then, as it mentions, there are those who they can appreciate all the things. And so then, you know, it says generally one in this stage is attached to the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he's the one who's pervading everything, controlling everything, manifesting everything, so that special position of him. Does that make sense? So when he says not strongly attached to the personal form, means it's not about a dynamic relationship with the person. So it's personal, but they're attached to these Paramatma, because Paramatma technically also is pervading everywhere, so it has that impersonal. That's why he says localized. But when you get into it, then you see, like Krishna Arjuna, that he's also, it has that personal aspect. About. So they're not about, they're not interested necessarily to, their service is being absorbed in the Lord. That's the main thing. They don't necessarily specifically do something. They might, but like you can see Sukh and Sari, then they'll talk about the Lord and all these things. So that, when you have the aspects where they're bringing out Narad Muni as a Shanta Bhakta, you know, how he's appreciating all these, like he goes to Dwarka and how he's in all these places at once, and that no one can do this, and he's amazed by that. So he's amazed by the person, but he's amazed by that all-pervading aspect of the person. Does that make sense? So in that way, they're attached to the impersonal aspect of the person. So that's why it's rati, because it's directed towards the person, but they're appreciating this. You know, while then others, it's then they're appreciating that service rendered to that person, or that friendship with that person. Does that make sense? So that's why you can see is that they'll be many times in the same category as the jnanis. But they have an appreciation of the Lord. But the field is the same. That's why it says it's in between the personal and impersonal. So in between is Paramatma, but they appreciate the Bhagavan. They know all three. But the aspect of Paramatma is the feature they appreciate. Does that make sense? So you have the Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So then they're situated there, but they know all three. The impersonalist only knows Brahman. They can see the other, and they have no problem. They all think they're all transcendental and features of Brahman. Right? Means the absolute. So Krishna can come and interact with an a Brahmavadi, and they'll interact because he's the supreme Brahman. But it's all about Brahman. Then you take it a step further, then it's Paramatma. right? Then they see how the person has come and is then dealing and doing all these things like that. Then you get into the other rasas, and then it gets into, and then that Bhagavan, that becomes the sexual feature. Does that make sense? Like that. So Dasya and that. So then in Vaikuntha, you'll have that aspect that he's there, but you see, it's very much it would be Paramatma pastimes.
Yes.
You know, like pastime Kira Dakshai Vishnu. That's the ones that they're focused on. So then, even though it's Bhagavan, it still has the flavor like Paramatma. Mm-hmm. Then in Dwarka, then it will go beyond that. So you just have more and more depth of flavor is what you're dealing with. Does that make sense? And so then the farther away you go, then it takes on the material qualities and then goes down the modes and it goes away. And then as you go towards it, then it goes the other way. But it's all connected with Krishna. The reason that the ones go down is because of their forgetfulness of Krishna. They're in illusion. So therefore, they're affected by the modes. The ones that aren't in illusion aren't affected by the modes. So they see how everything's connected to Krishna. So what we see is it's a platform. And so whatever's in the lower platform is already included in the next platform. So that means all the five rasas, they all have this position of being, you know, seeing Krishna in everything. But they see that the Lord is doing this, and it's about that seeing in everything. The other one, that then immediately takes them to whatever is their relationship. Mm-hmm. Yes? No?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we should make a table. Just to organize it. It's quite complex, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because Krishna is unlimited, so it's definitely going to be some complexity. You know, his energies are unlimited, so then you can get all the... Yeah. Yes?
So the Santa Bhaktan, they are all pure devotees.
Yes, they're all pure devotees.
And it's
and they're all situated in on Bhava.
Yes.
In Rati. But this is not Rati where they may have still elements that need to be removed. This is pure Rati.
Yes.
You know?
It is their rasa. It is their rasa.
Yes, their rasa. Like that. So all rasas have that as a basis,
yes.
And then they go up from there.
Yes. And they are fully satisfied with their rasa.
They're fully satisfied.
Yes.
They're happy then.
And when they see the Lord, like Narada Muni sometimes he sees the Lord, like in different places, but they have the same appreciation for the Lord of his energy. They have the same appreciation of
the Lord and
his energy.
Yes, yes. Means as we were discussing in the morning, Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out that all the living entities in the spiritual world, no matter what rasa, all have, there's one understanding.
Yes.
Like this.
Yes.
But there's different tastes.
Yes.
So therefore, one prefers this taste or that taste. Because if you have a taste, you like that, whether anybody else likes it or not. Because they're pure. It's not about social position or standing or this or that. This is what you like and this is what you do. And the point, you have your position, you have the other devotees you interact with, and everything goes very wonderfully.
Yes.
You know, so it's not about, oh, it's lack of prestige and all that. Because it's not about that. It's not, means here we think the better the position, the better the this, then I will be happier. But in the spiritual world is, no, when you're engaged according to your nature, that's where you're happy. Why? Because you're pleasing Krishna from that position. He has unlimited energy, so there's always going to be so many unique. So each jiva is unique. In the particular purport, it means you have that Satchitananda, you have the, you know, and from the energies that come from that, we have, you know, our particular unique combination of that. And so then you like that, you have... Does that make sense? Yeah. And so then those will all go back to others, then there'll be bigger ones, bigger and bigger and bigger, until you get back to Radharani. So with Srimati Radharani, she's the devotee. Everyone else is assisting. And according to the capacity. And once you're working in your capacity, you're happy. You're satisfied. So that, does that make sense? That's the whole thing. We don't have to worry about this or that. It's a matter of, you know, if you're saying, no, but I want this, so are you working for it? What are you doing for it? Oh, I don't want to be connected with Paramatma. I want to be connected with Krishna and Braj. So what are you doing? That takes pure unalloyed devotion. So are you working without desire for karma and jnana? Are you working with everything that is pleasing to Krishna? You know, is that your intent? You may not be perfect in it, but is that your intent? If it is, then we can talk about Braj Krishna. If that's not your intent, then why are you talking? You know, like that. You know, you're saying, you know, I want to, you know, this and that, or, you know, when I go to Calcutta, you know, like this and that, and says, yeah, okay, well, you know, the, what do you call it? The, what's that, Jawan bus? You know, the bus?
Oh, the morning 5-1.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Huh?
There is a bus which goes morning 5-1.
Yeah. But it's run by, you know, people before military or something. They're given the opportunity to run. So that bus, you know, you can get on that bus. It's, I don't know, what's the ticket these days? No?
100 rupees.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah, 100 rupees. But, you know, they go straight there and everything like that, and you can catch it, I think, back in the afternoon, somewhere at least like 2 o'clock or something, and you can catch your way back, you know. So, you know, you can catch that. You know, it says, no, I want a four-wheel drive, you know, Rolls Royce and all that. Okay, you know, you got 5 lakhs and we'll arrange it for you. No, I only want to pay 100 rupees and here's the bus. No, I'm better, you know, like this. So that's the problem, you know, if you put your money where your mouth is.
They arrange, they write on their bus,
Benz. Benz, okay, there it is, there it is.
They do it.
Okay, there it is. Yeah, before Volvo was always there.
That's how much you get for 100 rupees.
Yes. You just paint that on the back of the bus. So the point is yes. So then, are you working for it? Otherwise, then if you're not, then why are you saying it's something different? You know. So that's the thing. So. I say, what is it? Put your sadhana where your mouth is, or put your bhakti where your mouth is. Yeah, something, you know.
Maybe Maharaj, this is one of the most difficult things to deal is to with this old Prabhupada booth. We have a lot of presentation of the spiritual world and that, and. Naturally, we want to be in the best place. You know?
Then endeavor for it.
But the difficulty is, naturally, we don't want to work.
No, that's what he was saying. We want to sit at home and do nothing. Yeah, I'm from Vrindavan. I'm in, you know, like that.
It's called working online.
Working online, yeah.
Always getting paid.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of, in other words, if that desire is there, good. Because the point is Braja Bhakti is going to be gained by greed. So are you greedy enough to go for it? You know, if you're not, then, you know, keep chanting. Maybe the greed will come.
Also in home, you don't get paid, you have to.
You have to work.
Well,
yeah. That's one of those, what do you call it? Elements that, it's not necessarily seen, you know. You know, I say, you know, when you're a kid, then, you know, what do you call it? You know, your mother did everything and that. Then you go off to school, you get educated and all that, get your degree. Then you come to live back at home. You expect it to go like it was before, but no, now you have the degree. You're supposed to be working. So therefore, you're not working, then, you know, wash the dishes, clean the floor, do something. It's kind of, what happened?
both of you. There is no excuse for either. It's not that you're working that you don't do this home stuff. You have to do this.
That also. But they're thinking they're going to sit at home and do nothing. Just play video games and mom will cook really great stuff.
It's only the day when you came. coin.
Yeah, of course, of course.
And the day you go.
The day you go.
We hope it's not the same day.
Yes, yes. Yeah, well, it can't be the same day. It can't be the same day or you get cheated out of one day. So at least you come one day and leave the next. You know, so then you get two full days. Yeah. If you stay three, then you'll at least be pleasant in the middle. Right?
Yes.
Dasyarati is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.5. And you see, Shana sees the Lord's representation everywhere. So he sees the person represented everywhere. But it's that element of how he's represented everywhere that is what is his vision. Mm. Right? So that's why he's saying is that it's in between the personal and impersonal. Mm. It's based on the personal, but it's about this all-pervading aspect of the personal. Mm. Right? Thus, Yarati is explaining Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.5.27. Thus, Svasmad Bhavanti Ye Nyunaste Nugrahaya Nugrahya Harer Mata Aradhyat Vatmika Tesham Ratif Pritir Itirita Tatra Shakti Krid Anyatra Priti Samharini Yasau. When the Supreme Lord in his localized aspect is appreciated, and a great devotee understands his subordinate position, not only does he surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but due to his subordinate position, he wishes to render some service, and thus become favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee in Shantarati is not very much willing to render service to the Lord, but a devotee in Dasyarati voluntarily wants to render service. Due to this attitude, the devotee in Dasyarati realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead more fully than a devotee in Shantarati. Right? So in Shantarati, they realize the Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Person, but not as much as the Dasyarati. He considers the Lord to be his worshipable object, and this means that his attachment to the Lord increases. Thus, Dasyarati is characterized as bhakti, Pareshanu bhavo viraktir anyatra cha, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42. In other words, on the Dasyarati platform, a devotee is attached to rendering service to the Lord, and he is detached from material activities. Shantarati is neither material nor spiritual, but Dasyarati is actually on the spiritual platform. There's no attachment for material things on the spiritual platform. Viraktir anyatra cha. Devotee in Dasyarati has no attachment for anything but Krishna's service. Well, the other is it's Krishna's energy, and he's appreciated and how it's connected. And so even the energies of the material world, he's appreciating. But it's connected to Krishna. But the Dasya Bhaktas, that's not even important. It's only important if it can be used to engage in service. So, yeah. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.